Well, let's get in the Word a little bit. Would that be all right? Hallelujah. God is so good, isn't He? You know, when I went up to Canada in March, Pastor Allen had me teach on faith, and I hadn't taught on faith for a long, long time. And, you know, sometimes it's so good to go back and look at some of the roots and look at the foundations of our beliefs and why we believe, and more than anything, of how faith will strengthen our belief and get it down inside of us. And then on the other side of that, also all of the blessings and the benefits of God come by faith. So faith is really important. And I think sometimes even myself, there are some areas in our life that Eileen and I have no problem believing for, and we don't even think much about it. We just know that God's going to take care of it. How many know what I'm talking about? But then there are some areas we're not doing too good. How many relate to that? Yes. So we have to continue to work on developing our faith. God, the Bible says everyone has been given the measure of faith. So we have that measure of faith. And whatever size it is, it doesn't make any difference. Whether it's the size of a mustard seed or whatever it is, it's big enough. It's enough. And all we have to do is develop what He has given us. And so I'm just going to talk a little bit about faith. And some of these things you've probably heard probably dozens and dozens of times from Pastor Roger. But you know, we were talking about this, I don't know if it was last night or the day before, that you know that there's two sides to a mountain. But when you get on the top of the mountain and look, it all looks the same from the top of the mountain, but when you come up a different side of the mountain, it's a different scenery. It's a different look. One side of the mountain might be covered with trees, and the other side of the mountain might be just a sheer cliff of rocks. So you see different things. And so we were talking about this the other night, that some of the things I say will not be new to you, but every once in a while I know with myself that something is said that I've heard many, many times, but it presented just a little bit different, and all of a sudden the light goes on and revelation comes, because I heard it just a little bit different, and it seemed to put all the pieces of the puzzle together, and I saw it. So that's what I'm believing for today. Amen? Amen. Because I know you folks I know Pastor is teaching on 1 Corinthians, right? 1 Corinthians right now. And I know you're getting some really, really good stuff. And so this will be very basic today, but you know, there's nothing new under the sun. Amen. There's nothing new. Nothing new in the Bible. Okay, so we'll talk about faith. I call this faith comes and faith moves. And for an introduction, here's some things that we receive by faith. You'll find all this in the Scriptures. We're saved by faith. We receive righteousness by faith. We're justified by faith. We have access to God's grace by faith. We stand firm in our belief by faith, receive the promise of the Spirit by faith, do God's work by faith. We wait for the return of Christ by faith. So we can see that faith is a very vital and an important part of our Christian life and our Christian walk. Amen. So it's so important. So I want to just look at a couple of principles. Let's turn here first. Hebrews 11:6. There's a scripture here that I went for a number of years and wondered about this scripture. What does it mean? And this and that and the other thing. And I read some things that a lady wrote here a while back, And it really is one of those things, turn the lights on. It says here that in 11:6 it says, "For without faith it is impossible to please Him." And I used to think about that. you know, sometimes we see that and see that verse and we think that we have to have faith to please God. And lots of times we think of pleasing God the way we try to please our children or please other people. But I've always known that God is pleased with me and God is pleased with you regardless of how you are, what situation you're in. He is pleased with you just because you're a child of God. So there's got to be more to that scripture than what it says, because you can't work to please God. You already please God. So what does that scripture mean? I think the answer to that scripture is in the rest of that verse, where it says you must believe that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And so from what I read from someone else, and it really bore witness with me, is this verse means that when we have faith in God and are receiving all of the promises that He has for us, we're walking in the light of the Word and receiving from Him, He is pleased with us. He is pleased that we're receiving all the benefits that He has for us. Oh, I love that. Because I'm thinking about my grandchildren. I was thinking about this morning. I was thinking about my grandchildren, the youngest one, Miles. He comes over to our house, and he likes root beer. So I always keep a couple cans of root beer in the refrigerator. And what does he do when he comes over to our house? He goes right to that refrigerator, gets that root beer out, goes to the cupboard, and he gets a glass. Then he goes over to the refrigerator, fills that glass with ice, and then puts the root beer in there. And you know what? Grandpa is just pleased to watch him, knowing that he's receiving everything that I have for him. You understand what I'm saying? And I just believe God is the same way. I believe that's what that scripture means. So faith is believing God and receiving and diligently seeking Him to receive the promises and the benefits that He has for us. Okay, now let's talk about faith as a principle. Turn to Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. You probably all know these scriptures. We use this a lot for people leading them to salvation, because it talks about salvation in these verses. Everyone that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But in these verses 9 and 10 in Romans 10, it says, if thou shalt confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It talks about believing and confessing. Believing and confessing. And there's so many other scriptures that we can look at. I don't know if we'll be able to look at them all today, but Mark 11, 23 and 24. Whosoever will say unto this mountain, amen. Talks about speaking. The other one there is in 2 Corinthians 4, where it talks about the spirit of faith. And therefore I believe, or they believed and spoke, and therefore I believe and speak. So speaking and believing is faith. That's how faith comes. Romans 10, 17. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So in these scriptures here in Romans 10, 9 and 10, we see that it's a spiritual principle of speaking and believing. Because you're going to speak what you believe, regardless whether it's in line with God's word or not. I mean, you can see it with people. Oh, nothing ever good will happen to me. Oh, there's a storm coming. My house is going to blow away. Because, see, what you speak is what you believe. Out of the mouth comes the issues of life. Those things that we speak. And so it's very important that when we catch ourselves saying the wrong thing, we have to get into the Word of God and find what God's promise says about that. And we have to begin to change our believing and change our speaking. And it seems like when we change our speaking, it accelerates the changing of our believing. There's something about hearing, because faith cometh by hearing. It doesn't say faith cometh by praying. It doesn't say faith cometh by, you know, any other way. It says by hearing. And there's no better way to hear the Word of God and develop your faith as your own words speaking it, going into your ears and down into your spirit, man. I really believe that that is by far the best way to hear faith or hear the Scriptures. So we want to believe and speak. So important. I remember when I got, I shared this with Pastor Roger yesterday, that when I got born again, I went to the front of the church. The pastor, I think it was about the third time I heard the salvation message. I don't know that I'd ever heard it before, and I was 39 years old. And I said, my life was a mess. And I said, I need that. And I went up and prayed and gave my heart to the Lord, and I believed that I was receiving something. But the moment I began to go back and sit down, these thoughts start coming. Oh, John, you haven't changed. You're the same person. Nothing ever happened to you. And I didn't sense anything. I didn't feel anything. But I knew that I'd made a decision to receive Christ. I knew that. And thank God I had a good pastor. And he told me, he said, you get into the Word of God and you read what the Word says about you now that you're born again. And so I began to read those things. I'm a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. I've been delivered from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And I began to confess these things. And you know what? Pretty soon I began to believe it. Because it was true. Because it was true. See, faith came by my confessing what the Word said. See, faith doesn't come by feeling. I didn't feel any different. I didn't feel saved. I didn't feel sanctified. But faith came by hearing what the Word said about me. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. That's good. That's good stuff there. So faith will come regardless of how we feel. Amen. Faith comes by the Word. Faith is a tangible spiritual force. If you look at Hebrews 11:1, it says, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith is something that's tangible. It says it's the evidence. Faith is something that when you're in faith, you know you're in faith. It's not something we see, not something we hear, not something somebody tells us, but down in our spirit, man, we just know that we're in faith for that. It's like it's there already, but we just haven't seen it manifest yet. And I've learned that you have to see it on the inside before you'll ever see it on the outside. You have to see yourself, whatever that situation is, you have to see it in the spirit, in your own spirit, man, before you'll see it manifest on the outside. So important. And that's where faith comes by hearing, by looking at God's Word. I'm not going to talk much about that, but there's two kinds of faith. Sense knowledge faith. And a lot of people operate in that. You know, we know the story about Thomas. You know, that all the disciples had seen Thomas, and they came back and told Thomas, they said, we've seen the Lord. And Thomas said, well, you know, unless I can put my hand in his side and feel the holes in his hands, he said, I will not believe. And see, there's a lot of people like that. I'll believe it when I see it. You ever hear people say that? Or they'll say something like, the proof's in the pudding. You know, it's like you got to see it first, and then I'll believe it. But no, faith doesn't come like that. Faith comes. Faith is the word of faith. The word alone is evidence that it's ours. The word alone is evidence that is ours. Whether it be salvation, whether it be prosperity, whether it be healing, whatever the promise is, the word is our evidence for faith to come. The word is our evidence. That's where we find those promises. I'm not going to take time to go there, but Matthew chapter 8, the story about the centurion that came to Jesus. He said, my servant is sick. And Jesus says, I'll come and heal him. And the centurion says, no, you don't have to come. He said, you just speak the word. Because he said, I'm a man under authority. He said, when I tell one to come, they come. When I tell them to go, they go. And see, he understood authority. We talk a lot about that. But also he realized the power of Jesus' words. He understood the power of Jesus' words. He didn't, and see, that's, Jesus is not going to come and lay his hands on us anymore. We're going to have to get it out of the word. What Jesus did and what is available for us and what he did for one, he'll do for another. He's not a respecter of persons. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. But we have to believe, according to his word, that the manifestation will come because of the name of Jesus. We've been given that authority to use that name. Hallelujah. And by faith, we use that name. Hallelujah. See, we're not under a sense knowledge faith. We're under a word knowledge faith. And that word becomes faith, and we speak it, and it comes to pass in our life. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's see. Just a quick one on speaking. Is that clock right up there? It is. Wow. Yeah, it's like somewhere I lost from a quarter after 11 to a quarter to 12. Somewhere I lost that, but anyhow. But the story of Zacharias in the book of Luke. Remember John the Baptist, his father? He was a priest, and the angel came to him and said that he was going to have a child. Elizabeth would have a child, and you're supposed to name him John. Well, it was the same situation with Zacharias and Elizabeth. They were both older in age, and Zacharias didn't believe it. So what did the angel do? He says, you're not going to speak until that child is born. See the power of the words? Zacharias was the husband or the father of that family, and he had spiritual authority in that family because of his position, and the words that he spoke would carry authority. You're never going to, you know, break the plan of God. Jesus was going to come one way or another. But see, Zacharias could have missed it and not been in his family, but God wanted to use them. And so he made it possible that Zacharias would not abort the plan with his mouth. We ever aborted the plan with our... I almost did one time. Years ago, God was greater than me. This was years ago when I probably had been born again 4 or 5 years maybe. And our youngest daughter, Brenda, we went to a full gospel businessman's meeting. And the man speaking was a good friend of ours from Texas. And we just met him then. And while he was speaking, he says, there's somebody in here that's believing God for $100 for Christmas. And we're talking way back in the, I got to think, we're talking back in the 60s. That was a lot of money then. That was a lot of money. 70s. Excuse me, the 70s. And so when we're going home, Brenda, she was probably about maybe eighth grade, something like that. And we're going home. She says, "You know, Dad, when that man spoke that about somebody believing God for $100 for Christmas," she said, "that was me." She said, "I was just thinking about that when he said that." And this man of faith and power, I said, "Ah, Brenda, there's nobody in this family going to have $100 for Christmas." You know, but you know what? The next day, we went back into town, into Worland, about 25 miles away where they're having the meetings. And we picked up this man. His name was Tommy Meekins, and he lived down in Texas. We picked him up. We're going to take him down to Casper, Wyoming, to the airport. And when he came out of the hotel and we got out of the car, he walked right up to my daughter, Brenda, and handed her a $100 bill. The angel should have zipped my lip. But God did it anyhow, because he wanted to not only prove it to her, but he wanted to prove it to me too. So I've learned now to not judge a thing before his time. Amen. Amen. Okay, well, let's go on. I want to talk about a couple more things here before we quit. The God kind of faith that comes, you know, Mark 11:23, some translations say have faith in God. Some say have the God kind of faith. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, believe those things he saith, shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So that is a truth right there. But there's one other thing I want to cover today, and there's a lot of things about faith, but I want to talk about Hebrews chapter 1, and I want to talk about 1 Corinthians 13:13. That word hope. You know, the word hope is found many times in the Bible. And I think sometimes that word hope has got a bad rap. I remember one time that Eileen and I were going through some of the most difficult times of our life right here in Alabama. We had some of our most difficult times of our life here, but we've had some of the best times of our life here also. We like it when we come out of Mississippi and we see that sign that says, "Home Sweet Alabama." We love that. But Eileen and I were going through some tremendous tough times with our church, and we just didn't know what to do and some things like this. And so we went to this minister who I thought would help us. And I just talked to him. I said, "Hey, we're just really having a battle. We need you to pray for us." And we didn't know how to pray. I mean, only the Holy Ghost knew what to do. But I just said, "Please pray for us to have strength in this." And he just exploded. "Strength? You have strength in the Lord. You don't need..." Just killed whatever hope I had. Because I was not in faith, I'll tell you that. I had to be in something else. I wasn't really in unbelief either. I really wasn't in doubt. I mean, I knew that God had something good for us. I knew that God had a plan for our life. And as years went on, I see that this hope, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. And then if you look in 1 Corinthians 13:13, it says, faith, hope, and love, the greatest of these is love. So hope is in that, in those three. So what is hope? I began to study this a little bit. What is Bible hope? Well, if we just look at natural hope, you know, when we hope for something, we hope for good things. Nobody ever hopes for his house to burn down. Nobody hopes for an automobile accident. No one hopes for bad things. We always hope for good things, and hope is always in the future. So what do we do when we talk about Bible hope? I believe that when we have a situation in our life and we have a hope, we have a hope for that. And then what we do is we get into the scriptures and we find the promise of God that promises that thing that we're believing for, that we're hoping for. And then as we begin to read on it and we begin to meditate on it and we begin to speak it, that hope turns into faith and it becomes a substance. Are you with me? Because I think myself, there are lots of times that we were in hope, but we didn't have the faith for it because that hope had never turned into faith. Whether it be unbelief or not really working at it enough, whatever it might be, we just never got into faith for it. Now I know that this might sound a little bit negative, but I'm telling you what, there's many people have left the charismatic churches saying this faith stuff doesn't work. And I think that lots of times people were in hope and they never got into faith. They never saw it come to pass. And so when we talk about hope, what is hope? It's a biblical type of hope. We find hope in the Bible many times. It says, Acts 24:15 says, have hopes toward God. Romans 5:4 says, experience worketh hope. Romans 5:5 says, hope maketh us not ashamed. 1 Corinthians 15:19 says, hope in Christ, talking about eternal life. Galatians 5:5 says, a hope of righteousness. Colossians 1:27 says, Christ, the hope of glory. 1 Timothy 1:1 says, Jesus Christ, who is our hope. So we all have things that we desire and we're believing for, but I think myself, speaking for myself, I have to develop that hope into faith. I have to get that substance when I know that I know that I know that it's mine and that I see it on the inside. Because I know with myself, I know the difference. I know the difference now whether I'm just hoping for something or if I've really got it on the inside and know that it's mine. Amen. Is everybody doing good? See, Bible hope is a desire based on a promise from God. I want us to turn to Romans chapter 4. I can't read this whole thing, but this is the story of Abraham. This is the one, you know, verse number 17. We'll start right there at 4:17. It says, as is written, I have made thee father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God who quickened the dead and calleth those things that be not as though they were. God called those things that be not as though they were. He spoke them into existence. We know that. But look at the next verse. It says, talking about Abraham, who against hope believed in hope. Who against hope believed in hope. I believe that what that scripture means that Abraham was 100 years old. Sarah was 90. In the natural, he could hope for a child all he wanted, but in the natural, it's not going to happen. 100 years old. So it says, against hope, and I believe that's against natural hope. He believed in hope. And I believe the hope that he believed in is what God told him, that he would have a son. That's the hope that he was believing in, and it developed into faith, and he received that son. You see what I'm saying? And I love that verse because I believe it's showing us the difference between the two types of hope. He went by what God said, and it says, and he believed God, and it was counted unto him as righteousness. Well, we believe, well, yeah, does that mean he was saved? I don't know. But there's one thing about it. When we believe God and faith comes, we receive what he has for us because we're righteous. Are you with me? It was accounted or imputed unto him as righteousness. That we could go a long ways with that right there. We could go a long ways with that, but I want you to chew on that and think about that. He couldn't be saved because Jesus had not went to the cross yet. But he could believe in what was coming. But to be actually, to be counted as righteous, those are the ones that would receive the promises of God, the righteous ones in the new covenant. But it was imputed, counted unto him as righteousness, and so he was able to receive the promise that God gave him. And the promise that God gave Abraham wasn't for everybody. It was just for Abraham. But what we have in here is for everybody. What we have today is for all of us. Every promise that's in there is for each and every one of us. And so lots of times when our natural hope doesn't look good, and we know that it's out of the question in the natural, we have to go by what God's word says, what God says about it. And God can speak some things to you. God can say some things to you. And God does do unusual and great things still today and does things for people that sometimes we think, well, did God really do that? Well, I believe he did. Sometimes we have to look at it from, you know, in the rearview mirror and then see that, yeah, that was God working. You know what I mean? Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to finish up here. I got just a few other things. When we talk about hope, or in hope, it's a promise that communicates the possibility of God's blessing to the individual and encourages us to receive the promise. That's what Abraham did. He was encouraged to receive the promise. And if we'll plant this seed into the soil of our heart, and if the soil is continually fed and watered with the word, that hope will turn into faith. It will become faith, and we'll have that substance. See, I believe that Bible hope is faith in a seed form. In a seed form. And it, because, see, it's a substance of things hoped for. So it has to be, it's something that germinates. It's something that it comes to us. Just like faith cometh by hearing. So we have to be expecting something to even look in the scriptures, to be looking for the promise. And then it has to grow. It has to become faith in us. Okay. Do I have anything else here that I wanted to... I want to just talk about this real quickly. It has to be a Bible promise. It has to be something that's in the Word. It has to be according to His Word. And, you know, it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. And the scripture that I really like is in 1 John chapter 5. It says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, we know that he hears us. And then the next verse goes on to say, and if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. I was talking to a pastor here, an older pastor, a while back, and he was telling this story. He had a church in, I don't remember where it was. This was back in the, probably in the 70s, probably, when there was a lot of fruitcakes in the churches, in the charismatic and full gospel churches. But here was there was a woman in there, a single woman. She was believing that Kenneth Copeland was going to be her husband. Well, the problem was Kenneth Copeland was already married to Gloria. And then she was even going so far to speaking curses on Gloria Kennedy so that she could... Now, see, if you look at 1 John 5, if we ask anything according to his will, well, is adultery his will? Is speaking curses on people his will? I don't care how much you speak it. I don't know how much you believe it. If it's not according to the word, it's not going to come to pass. That's why it's so important that when we have hope, we have to find it in the Word and meditate on it, read it, and then it'll become faith and we'll receive it. Amen? So it has to be according to His will. Well, I have a lot more, but that's enough for today. Amen? Pastor's looking at his Bible. We'll have a summary of this now. And this in 5 minutes, he'll give you more than I gave you in 30 minutes. And it'll be better, too. Come on, Pastor. That's what I love about him. I mean, all you have to do is say one little word out of the scriptures, and boy, if it sparks, he's going.
No, what up?
That's all right.
No, what you made me think of.
I love it. I love it.
You made me think of this scripture here. Because when you was talking about hope, see, God is a God of hope.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
What Brother John in Romans 15:13 says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound, listen to this, that you may abound in hope.
Yeah.
By the power of the Holy Ghost. You know, the Holy Ghost is hooked up with hope. He's hooked up with faith, but he's hooked up with hope because hope deferred makes the heart sick.
Yeah.
God's a God of hope.
Yes, he is.
And like Brother John said, I love what he said because here we talked a little bit. He said he's going to talk about faith, but he didn't realize that some of the things he began talking about on Hebrews 11:6 is what we've been talking about on Wednesday nights.
Oh, really?
And okay. The same perspective that you had of that verse is the same perspective we've been coming from. So it's a confirmation. And here's the deal about this, because you've got to abound as a believer. You have to abound in the hope. See, there's hope that is set before us. For example, the greatest hope set before us is his return. That the scripture calls it that our blessed hope, Jesus' return. But there's other things that are set before you too. You're to run the race that is set before you. Well, you're going to have to abound in hope through that. But and like he said, but faith, as you get with God and his word, and like Brother John was talking about, I'm telling you right now, faith will begin to give substance. They work together, faith and hope. I mean, if faith gives substance to it, they've got to work together. But you've set some things in your heart. Like you said, I love that. You've never hoped for something bad.
You never do.
But I'll tell you what, faith works with that. And listen, and then it just becomes, it's not just a hoping. Like he said, it turns into an absolute knowing. And it doesn't matter what's going on around you. There's something in you, there's peace. There's joy and peace in believing. You're abounding in that hope. And faith has taken over and hooked up with that hope, giving some substance to it. And guess what? It shows up. Just like the next day when the guy comes, they pick him up, he walks out with a $100 bill and says, here.
Yeah.
that's Christianity. And everything else is religion. We need to be living like that on a daily basis, expecting God, expecting good, because God is good. And if you're expecting good, you're expecting God. And if you're expecting God in your life, you're expecting good. Amen. Praise the Lord.